So this is a true story. It comes from Small Miracles, Extraordinary Coincidences in Everyday Life. There was a man whose whole family had been lost to the Holocaust. He was the only survivor. And faith and family were the thing that mattered to him most as he co-created his own family. It was everything to him. So you can imagine how it felt when his 19-year-old son came to him and said, "Dad, I don't believe in God." He was so upset, he said, "You are not my son." And Joey, his son, was so upset by that he said, "Well, then you are not my father." And he stormed out of the house. And so it was many years later that Joey was traveling in India, and somebody from back home ran into him and said, "I am so sorry to hear the news." And Joey said, "What news?" And he said, "Oh, you don't know." He said, "Nobody even knows where I am." He said, "Your father died of a heart attack." And Joey was grief-stricken, as you could imagine, shocked by that news, remorseful. He felt like he had killed his own father. And so he decided to go to Israel to make peace or to something, whatever he could do. And he found himself at the Wailing Wall, and he didn't know how to do any of the rituals or what it was all about, but he kind of followed along, and he got a prayer book, and he went to the wall, and he read a prayer. And then he noticed that people were putting little slips of paper in the wall, and he asked about this tradition or ritual, what was going on there. And people told him, "Oh, this is a very sacred wall. When you write your prayer and you put it in the wall, it goes straight to the heart of God." So he wrote a prayer to his father, "Dear Father, I'm sorry I didn't understand. I wish you could know how much I love you and how sorry I am." It's a true story. When he went to put his paper in, another paper fell out on the ground. And he went to pick it up, and it opened up a bit, and he saw that it was written in English. And then he noticed that the handwriting was familiar. And the handwriting of his father read, "Dear son, I love you, and I ask God for forgiveness." Stephen Levine was a great teacher of death and dying, and a minister and spiritual teacher of that, especially in that topic. And he said, "To heal is to touch with love that which we previously touched with fear." To heal is to touch with love that which we previously touched with fear. So it feels so true, doesn't it? It's one of those, it's like, oh, yeah, that is what happens. And so in this story, what happened? How is it that the father and son touched something by love that they had touched by fear before? At first, the fear, right? The rejection. You can imagine the father's rejection of his son carried everything with him, because his son saying he didn't believe in God caused everything that he clung to be at risk of being lost, right? Just like everything that was lost to him in the Holocaust. It was the very thing that he feared that he ended up losing for a while anyway, his son, right? By his rejection. But the fear underneath it was his identity, his life, everything that he could root in, faith and family, his culture, his religion, everything was there. And so you can understand why he rejected his son, why fear came into the picture. And the same with the son, even as we know many teenagers to need at that stage of life freedom, autonomy, to make our own choices, to find our own beliefs. And so his son was in that process. And so his father saying that he rejected him or that he must somehow align with certain beliefs probably was very constricting to him. And his desire for authenticity and to follow his own way was so strong that he rejected the father in return. Fear had come into the relationship, but then in this transformation, it's touched by love. It's touched by love through forgiveness. It's touched by love through prayer. It's touched by love by a shared faith. Powerful that we can turn things around like that. What is it in your life that you have touched by fear? That you could choose to touch again by love? Whatever it is that comes to your heart and your mind, maybe take a moment to just see, is there anything I've touched by fear that I could choose, that I will choose to touch with love and let it be healed? Your story of love continues to unfold. And in this particular story, that was not the end of Joey's story. He was in Israel with his girlfriend at the time when he was there at the Wailing Wall and so on. And his girlfriend, who had come to know Joey in one way as primarily an atheist, was now seeing a young man who was connecting to his Jewish roots, and that was not the man she fell in love with. That was not the one whose beliefs matched with hers, and she said, I don't think we're on the same journey anymore. I'm going to break up with you. And so she went on and left. And so 3 years later, he was back in Israel. He was studying Judaism, and his family kept saying, we want you to meet this girl. And he kept putting it off, and finally he went to dinner, and guess who? The girlfriend was the woman they wanted him to meet. And as it turns out, their beliefs now were in accord, and they fell in love again, and on it went. And so, but the thing about that is, in their case, their beliefs did come together, and she saw the beliefs as a problem. But how often is it that we let beliefs stand in the way of love? How often is it that we separate ourselves because of ideologies or because of differences in beliefs when love does not know that difference? Love does not know separation. It isn't something it can even comprehend or would want to. And so if we find ourselves believing that somehow we can't have love because our beliefs are different from someone else, let us look again and open our hearts to the possibilities of how love can overcome any obstacle. Anybody find themselves in that situation? Seems to be a common one in our world today. And so love is a bridge. Love is a bridge. Let's walk across it. Love knows no bounds, and beliefs can't stand in the way of love's uniting power and presence. And fear is based on these ideas of separation. Fear is based in this idea where love says, no way. Neither truth nor life, things present nor things to come, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, it says in Romans. So is there a relationship in your life that could use a little healing? Something that you have been touching with fear and separation that you could now reach out and touch by love? Is there something that needs to be forgiven? Love has redemptive power. Love has the power to restore to wholeness. And so whatever it is for you, let us unblock the way. Jack Kornfield says, we do not need to improve ourselves. We often think that's what this is all about on the spiritual journey, right? But he reminds all of us, we do not need to improve ourselves. We just have to let go of whatever blocks our heart. That's the journey, just letting go of the blocks, noticing where they are, noticing when they show up, and then letting them go, moving through them. When we do, we not only heal, but we prosper too. In the Hindu Vedic scriptures, there is this god of love, Kama. And the scripture says, God of love, this comma, or this God of love, is not only the loftiest of all human qualities, it is also the driving force behind enterprise. If you think of it, if you consider your passions, consider the things that really keep you, make you come alive and give you a sense of purpose, those things are based in who and what you love, right? That's back behind it, is who and what you love that you want to serve. I think about, you know, Holly, I don't know if she left, she was outside. Holly Reese, who broke the Guinness Book of World Record yesterday, right here in this spot, her own Guinness Book of World Record. She did over 1,200 push-ups in an hour. Yeah. So I was telling my mom about it yesterday, and she said, why would anybody want to do that? My mom always has this really sort of common sense kind of approach to things, which I greatly appreciate. It grounds me. And I said, well, judging from what I saw when she spoke about her work as a healthy aging coach and talked about fall prevention, it would be because the idea of inspiring people to see that age is just a number and that what we are able to do with the power of our intention and our mind and our spirit is always beyond what we think possible, that she wanted to be a living demonstration of that because she cares so passionately about the people that she serves. That it is out of that passion and that sense of purpose, what is underneath it is the love for the people, her clients, her potential clients. That's what it is for all of us, isn't it? It helps us to remember when we are serving, when we are working, when we are volunteering, why am I doing this? Every so often, just ask yourself in the midst of it all, and if it doesn't have as its base this foundation of love, this deep caring, then maybe it isn't worth doing anymore because there's probably something else that does. And that's our call, to be in the walk of love, to be in the embodiment of love, to be love itself upon the earth. So in this Vedic passage, Raimondo Panikkar is the translator, and he says, love is the most powerful force of all because it's the first principle of activity, the creative force that let the supreme being out of the closed circle of its own existence. It's the force that let the source itself of all life, the divine intelligence of all life, out of its own closed existence. How? Because it created us. It created life. Out of that impetus was a desire for God itself to know itself through the mirrored image of all creation. And so the oneness of love became the many gems of love shining its light throughout the universe. And our journey as spiritual beings is to recognize that it all comes from that one essence, to go back to that one essence. That's what we do when we come back to the ground of love. We remember that oneness. We remember that essence from which we came, that love begets love, that prosperity, that is prosperity, isn't it? That is prosperity in its expression. What is prosperity but expansion? What is prosperity but multiplication, co-creation, getting more of the good we wish to experience, allowing more of the goodness, the things that we value, to be available to all of us? That's love as prosperity in action. Love is the final of our 12 powers in this series, and it brings us back to the center of it all, to the heart of it all, to the essence of both the healing power and the prospering power of love. It's the highest ideal in most, if not all, religions, and it's easily accessed for all of us individually right here. We carry around a portal to the beginning source of time and space and beingness. We carry around us a portal that allows us to love in an individual, personal way. We are both the expansion of love and the deepening of love through the heart. That is an amazing thing that we have available to us at all times. Where your heart is, Jesus said, there will your treasure be also. In Greek, there's four different kinds of love. You know, in English, we have this one word for love that we use for everything. In Greek, there's four different types of love that are talked about. And one is eros, or romantic, or erotic love. And then another is philia, or neighborly love. Philosia is self-love. And agape is the love of God. Agape is the love of God that loves us and the love of God that we love, the way that we love God, or source, divine, whatever you use. Whatever words work for you. Let's not get tripped up on words. But let's allow ourselves the feeling, the presence, the power of what love really is and how we love the divine in so many different ways. It can be really direct. It can be through devotional practice, almost a kind of, you know, I think mainstream or conventionally we might say worship, we might say more devotional, chanting, praying, that kind of invoking the power and the presence and the name of God. But it can also be through the way that we love each other. Through all the different ways that we love each other individually. C.S. Lewis said that love of the four in the four loves, he said that love is a love that is passionately committed to the well-being of others. Agape love is a love that is passionately committed to the well-being of others. So to love the divine, to love the source, to love God, we are passionately committed to the well-being of others. And interestingly, by passionately committing to an individual, we can love this very essence and source of the universe. Think about someone you love. All of us love at least one person in this way, where we are passionately committed to their well-being. Then it's easy when you have a child. Most of us think that way of a child, right? I have a godson. His name is Seth. And this week I had a dream about him after he and I had a phone call. He's, I don't know how it happens, but he went from this curly-headed toddler to 14 years old, and when I call him, his voice is like deep, and I'm like taken aback every time, you know. But that night after I talked to him on the phone, I had a dream about him visiting us. He was visiting us in the dream, and he was a much younger boy, and Brenly and I were at the movies with him, and he ran ahead into the dark theater, and we lost him. And in the dream, oh my God, it's still so real for me. You know how that is when you have one of those sort of really lucid dreams and you just really carry it with you. So I've been carrying this dream with me. And in the dream, I wake up in the morning the next day and I realize I lost him. And I'm just like, I said out loud in the dream, I was like, I love him. I love this boy so much. And then what came crashing in is all the fear and concern and worry about his safety and well-being. Where was he? Was he abducted? Oh my, what? And the responsibility and the weight of that. How would I ever tell his parents? What will I do to find him again? Can I even trust that, like, the police are going to really follow? You know, all that stuff is just like, oh my gosh, I feel for you mothers and fathers out there. It's like, if nothing brings you to your knees in divine love, it must be this love of a child. These concerns that we hold, the passionate commitment to their well-being. And so what do you do in that moment, right? There you are in the throes of fear and in the midst of this passionate love for another's well-being, and you think it's being threatened and you don't know what to do. How is it that, you know, John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, says, perfect love casts out fear. But when we're in the midst of it, what do? I feel the love and I feel the fear. And I don't know how to get past the fear to resolve the situation, to restore the wellness of the one who I am passionately committed to their well-being. How do we get from this place to that place? What do? This is where our practice, where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, right? It's in these moments of challenge, of real challenge, that the platitudes of oh, well, just turn to love, don't really work so well, right? There's only love. That's what our spiritual friend will say to us in the midst of it. And thank you very much, but that's not what I need to hear right now. So what do? It is reaching for the truth, isn't it? It is going into this portal of love and tapping that intense feeling that we have of love for that being, that other. And to know that it is through that portal that there is an expansive love available to us, that through the divine love, the very essence of divine love, there is naturally an expansiveness. And so that eachness becomes the allness, and the allness becomes the eachness, and we begin to swim in something much greater, much wider, much more expansive. It's called divine love. We have just gone from personal love into an expanded space of universal love. There, when we stand in that space, we are not just worried about our godson Seth, but every child on the planet who could ever be abducted. And we grieve and feel and have compassion for every parent on the planet who may have gone into a place of worry and concern in a moment of time. That's divine love. It's bigger. It's through the presence and the individual personal kind of love, but it's through it that we go into that expansive place. And suddenly we are in a bigger playing ground of love. And in that bigger playing ground of love, it's everywhere present. All the solutions, all the answers, the way, the wisdom, all the powers become available to us when we go through the portal of love, when we enter through divine love. Suddenly there's wisdom and there's faith and there's the prayerful practice of affirmation, and then there's a will to act and the power to speak the truth. There's the imagination, the vision. We can see something bigger. We have that understanding in us. We have the zeal, the passion that's propelling us forward, and the order that says the pattern of the universe is unfolding before me now, and my petty fear is kicked to the curb. And I step over it through the power of faith and love that is carrying me through any challenge, through anything you throw my way. Life, it can be disease, it can be a broken relationship and a broken heart, a fear about a child or aging parent or ourselves, our bodies breaking down and our worries about death. It can be anything, any challenge. Bring it on, because I am standing in divine love. Where do we go from there? We're there. There's no more there. Yeah, that's our walk, isn't it? That's it. Love will take us there. Love will take us anywhere we need to go. Love helps us through life. So let us enter that. Let us know that. Let us step into that and through that as we take all of these 12 powers with us as we go. The more we learn them intellectually, the more it helps us, because we just then can reach for them. But if you don't remember any of them, remember love. Walk the way of love. Break through anything available to you through love. It is through the personal that we find the universal. It is through the love with the little L that we grow into the big L that is all. So let us speak this together, this affirmation that carries us forward through love and all the 12 powers that allows us to heal and prosper our lives and our world together. I invite you to say it with me. I am divine love in expression. I am a 12-powered force for healing and prosperity. And so it is.